Hey, welcome to the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast, where it is my calling, my passion to help you become the leader that people love to follow. And congratulations, I think we've almost all survived a year. At the end of the year, I just want to say thank you to you, our leadership community. Thank you for sharing the podcast and inviting others to be a part of it. Because of you, this was the biggest year for the audio podcast and on YouTube, and it's all because you're inviting others to be a part, so I wanted to say thank you. I hope it was your biggest year of leadership influence as well, and we've got a great lineup for you in the upcoming year to help you grow in your leadership. What I want to do today is we're going to look back at some of your favorite topics and ideas from the previous year. And I'm going to give you some different clips that I believe will speak to you to reinforce some of what we talked about and help you strengthen your leadership as you go from one year into the next. Now, we started off the year with very important learning about the 8 habits of great leaders. What I want to do is dive back into the first exercise that we talked about and cover again, how do we create the identity statements that help you become the leader you're supposed to be? So, in order to create the right habits to get the desired results, let's get to work. I'm going to give you some application. This is your assignment. I want to encourage you to do it with your team. And we're going to create 2 identity-shaping statements. The first one we're going to create is what I call an I am statement. And the second one is an I do statement. I am and I do. And I'm going to walk you through this, and I want you to do this exercise. We're going to start with an I am statement. And in one sentence, what you're going to do is you're going to try to answer the question, what kind of person do I want to become? Or what kind of leader will I be? This is who before do. And to help you process your answer, I'm going to just talk about like 2 common leadership desires. When I work with people, a lot of leaders say, hey, you know, I want to be more organized. Or some leaders say, I want to care more about my people. And so let's say that's one of those is your goal. You're going to write an I am statement. And using your hypothetical goal, you might say this, I am, what am I? I am an organized leader. Or your I am statement might be, I am a leader who cares about people. Now, in your mind, you might be saying, but I'm not. It doesn't matter. We're going to declare what we want to be. We're going to put it in present tense. I am. I am an organized leader. And I want to encourage you, if you want to be creative with this statement. You can add some color to it. You might say, I'm an organized, productive, results-producing leader. Whatever it is, make it your own. And the first thing what I want you to do is I want you to create your I am statement, who before do. Now, we're going to create your I do statement. What is it that you do? Based on who you want to be, what is it that you do? Based on the leader you want to become, what's one habit that you need to create? Remember, the most successful people create specific habits to get the desired results. So what new habit will reinforce who you want to become? Now, if you're becoming an organized leader, you might look at an organized leader and look at some of their best habits and pick one small habit. That's your assignment. I am an organized leader. I do this one thing, and you're adopting one new, very specific small habit in just one. So you might say, if I'm an organized leader, I plan my day the night before. That's what organized leaders do. Or you might say, I prioritize the top 3 items to do each day before the day starts. Whatever it is, you're going to create your I am statement and your I do statement. Let's say your I am statement is, I am a leader who cares about people. So you're going to ask, well, what do leaders who care about people do? And then you're going to make one I do statement. And you might say, gosh, okay, the people that I know that really care about people, they listen way more than they talk. So your I do statement might be, I ask 3 questions before I say anything. So you have an interaction with someone and you're going to ask them 3 questions because you're focusing on caring about them. Or you might say, you know, you want to express more gratitude to the people on your team. So you say, every day I write 1 note or send 1 text of gratitude. That might be your I do statement. Very simply, I am my I am statement and I do my I do statement. And what you might want to do is you might want to like put it on a screensaver on your computer or on the home screen of your phone. You might write it on lipstick on your bathroom mirror or whatever. You may even consider posting on social media for accountability. Tag me and I will cheer you on. Why does this matter? James Clear says this, and I love this quote of all his amazing content. This is one of my favorite quotes. He says, every action you take is a vote toward the type of person you wish to become. No single instance will transform your beliefs, but as the votes build up, so does the evidence of your new identity. Let me say it again. He says, every action, every little bitty I do thing, every little action you take is a vote toward the type of person you want to become. And no single instant transforms your whole beliefs, your identity. But as the votes build up, so does the evidence of your new identity. Now, if that content was helpful to you and you want to hear more on the same subject, I would encourage you to go back and listen to episodes 122, 124, and 126 to get all of the principles for building better habits. Also, we have a free resource for you that our team put together. It's a quick reference guide to all of the identity statements to help you get started. If you'd like a copy of that, go to life.church/great habits, and we can get you that free resource. Next up, you're going to enjoy this. I want to share with you a clip from the CEO of the Dallas Mavericks. It may have been one of my favorite interviews of all time. Listen to this wisdom from Cent Marshall.
I want to fast forward. Uh-huh. I apologize. 35 years. I want to ask you about how and why you last.
Okay.
There's so many, but I want to fast forward to the Dallas Mavericks because this is fascinating to me. So you're at AT&T. You're not in the NBA. And Mark Cuban.
No. And I had retired.
You're retired.
I retired after 36 years.
So
that's enough.
Mark Cuban sees something in you, which is fascinating. I want to hear a little bit about what he saw. And then when you came in, it had to be, there's got to be 1,000 crossover principles of leadership that are true everywhere.
Yes.
And there had to be 1,000 new things that you hadn't seen before. Can you tell me a little bit about that journey?
Yes. So when Mark called me, and I did not know him, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, everything broke out at the Mavs and somebody told him, my name came up a few times, and I get this call from this person who I really did not know. Mm-hmm. So when I went to see him, and so we kind of, you know, he told me the whole story, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know if mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. But it's a long story, but truly the Lord orchestrated mm-hmm. the whole thing. So mm-hmm. he made it very clear to me, this is what I was supposed to do mm-hmm. at this point in time. And I thought I was getting ready to do something else. That's mm-hmm. why you got to be in touch with mm-hmm. the man. Okay, so I ended up accepting the job, not knowing a thing about the business of basketball. Mm-hmm. Huge basketball fan, mm-hmm. but didn't know a thing about the business of basketball. And Mark told me, don't worry about that. He said, I need a leader. And basically, his mandate was to transform the culture. He said, I know about the work you've done at AT&T. I need that here. I need a leader. I will teach you and others will teach you the business of basketball. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay. And at that time, I really didn't know there was so much business to basketball. Mm-hmm. There's so much more that goes on than what's on the court, okay? But I did know how to lead. Mm-hmm. And I basically laid out a vision, mm-hmm. a set of values, mm-hmm. and the values spell crafts. Character, respect, authenticity, fairness, teamwork, and safety. All based on my personal and
Can
safety.
Say those again one more time, and we're going to put them in the leader guide, but would you say it one more time slowly?
Character, mm-hmm. respect, authenticity, fairness, teamwork, and safety, both physical and emotional mm-hmm. safety. So those are the values that I laid out for the employees, and I laid it all out for them before I went to talk to the media, because mm-hmm. your people shouldn't hear things out in the public before you tell them, mm-hmm. okay, if you can help it, okay? And I met with all of them first. We laid out our vision. We laid out our values. And I laid out a 100-day plan, shared that with everybody, and then said, okay, I need a diverse group of leaders around the table, and I'm going to meet with every single employee in here. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the recipe. That's what we did. The things I didn't know about the business of basketball, I know a whole lot now. But I have people around the table that taught me. My colleagues, there are 30 NBA teams, so 29 of my colleagues around, you know, the country. So many of them called me on day one because the competition is only on the court. They wanted me to be successful. They want the Mavs to be successful. And they told me so much stuff. And they still do about what I need to know about the business of basketball. Mm-hmm. But my job truly is to lead. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I do.
So I think that Mark is brilliant in to believe that you're a great leader and you can come in and learn the business of basketball. That's classic leadership.
It really is, because when I think back at it, I'm like,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
At first I thought he lost his mind. Yeah. Once I started learning about it, I'm like, has he gone crazy? But he is brilliant. He really is a business genius.
It was a move that almost no one would have made.
Right.
And he saw something in you, and you were the right person for it long before you maybe even thought you would be a candidate for it.
Right. And here's what's great. Because when I found out that, when they start talking about me being the first black female CEO of an NBA team, my boss never thought about that. Mm-hmm. He didn't know that, just like I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. It's to the point you made earlier.
He was looking for a leader. Yes.
He was looking for competence, somebody with a proven track record of culture transformation and all that. He was not thinking about the fact that he was basically putting the first black woman in place.
Did you feel weight? Because if you hadn't done well, then it might have been a while before there was a second.
I didn't feel a lot of weight. I mean, I think about it, but I knew I had to do a good job, but I knew I would do a good job because I know the recipe. Mm-hmm. It's not all on me. Mm-hmm. It's just not all on me. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I get up in the morning, I know I got a whole team of people and I just don't feel the pressure. Mm-hmm. I knew, we had a lot of media stuff going on and all that. So I just knew we had to work at a pretty fast clip and I'm type A and I'm a workaholic. But I actually integrate. So I have my family. So I got a pretty good balance. I mean, at this point, mm-hmm. I mean, I had 36 years of experience, 37 by that point. So I didn't feel the pressure. I know I have to do a good job. Mm-hmm. I know we will do a good job and we will do a good job. Mm-hmm. It's not just about me. Right. I have learned that. Mm-hmm. I have learned that. Gone are the days when I had all the pressure on me because those days led to an ulcer, led to just all kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Gone are those days. I rely on the people.
Yes. So I want our community just to let this soak in for a minute because what you're saying is brilliant. So you're walking into an industry that you love but don't understand.
Correct.
And so you know that if you come in and if you cast a very clear vision, if you create the right culture by clearly articulating, communicating, demonstrating the right values, choose the right people who will create the right systems, then you can change the direction to go in the vision that's desired. And that applies to
everywhere.
Any type of organization.
Everywhere.
Anywhere you go.
Everywhere.
Anywhere you go.
In fact, when I talked to a new employee one time, he said, "Sent, it never dawned on me the importance of values." Mm-hmm. And he was one of the new employees. He could feel the difference mm-hmm. between kind of what happened, when he walked in, how it was, and then a year or so after we were there. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I never thought that should be something I should ask an employer about. Mm-hmm. What are the values?" Mm-hmm. And our values, and here's what I told our team. I said, these values will be on the walls because, mm-hmm. You want to have it laid out and all that. And I got the hashtag for each one of them. Right. Like authenticity is hashtag do you. Mm-hmm. And we describe what that means to do you and all that. But I told them these values will not just hang on the walls, but they will operate in the halls. Mm-hmm. And here's what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And then we'll give examples. And then I'll say, and we will call each other out when we don't see it.
Well, you can just feel the love that Cint has for the people that she leads. And this is such an important quality that we all need to develop if we're going to be effective leaders. And I just want to tell you, if you have not heard the entire conversation with Cint, please stop this right now and go to episode 136. It is a conversation that really will empower you and give you insight from one of the best leaders who's led effectively for decades. Hey, Craig here, and we know that the quality of your decisions will determine the quality of your life. The problem is a lot of us are not great decision makers. In episodes 145 and 147, we're learning the strategies for becoming strong, intentional decision makers. And we dig into delegating emotions, making mistakes, timing, and so much more. In fact, there's so much to learn about decision making that it doesn't fit into two episodes. To help you build a specific plan to grow in your decision-making, I've created an extra exclusive teaching you can only get as a part of our leadership community. It's a bonus episode called Discover Your Decision-Making Style, and it's only for those of you on our email list. Based on my research, there are 5 styles of decision-making, and my goal is to help you identify your dominant style and build a game-changing plan for making great decisions. Get it free by going to life.church/decision style. life.church/decision style, and we'll help you get better at making decisions. Now, back to the episode. Next up, we're going to hear from somebody that is very, very powerful and helpful, Amy Porterfield. She's been called the queen of online marketing, and she is an expert. In our conversation, she talks about working through some of her insecurities, because let's be honest, we all have insecurities, right? And she's going to teach you how to grow in your leadership confidence. Here's Amy. Can you tell me, because this might help some people that are listening right now, how did you work through some insecurities to grow in your confidence as a young and aspiring leader?
You know, I have been very insecure for a lot of my journey, to be quite honest. It's ebbs and flows for sure. And I think where I really started to notice it is when I started to build my own business. Mm-hmm. And so I was in corporate for many, many, many years. And definitely the insecurities came up there, but I wasn't in charge of really big projects. But when I went out on my own and became my own boss, every insecurity that could come flooding in did. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was enough. I didn't think I was strategic enough. I didn't have the right answers. I didn't have enough education. Mm-hmm. I didn't look the part. Like, all the different things came up. And so I've navigated those for a really long time. And in my book, I talk about this difference between confidence and courage. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a lot of confidence, but I don't think you start out with a lot of confidence. I feel confidence is earned, but courage is that faith that you have in a higher power or in yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to rely on courage a lot of the way through my journey. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely been something that's helped me immensely.
That's an interesting perspective. I haven't heard someone share kind of that contrast before between courage and confidence. And to me, it's almost like you need confidence and a little stupidity, right? When you're starting out, it's just like you don't even know what you don't know.
It's true.
And so you would say that confidence is earned. Can you take me through, and I'd love to know, you mentioned a couple of insecurities, that you're not enough, you weren't strategic enough. Could you pick one of those, maybe one that stands out to you the most, and tell me how you actually earned the right to be confident in that area? Because I think, Amy, as you know, we have so many in our leadership community that just feel inadequate. Most of us don't feel like that we're enough, and you have overcome. You started from scratch and built something really special. I'd like to know that journey of how you built confidence, what it took, and do you own it today? Are you always confident, or do you still backslide into some of the insecurities? So if you can just walk us through that, that'd mean a lot.
Okay. So when I talk about this idea of confidence is earned, what I mean by that is when you start to put yourself out there, and in my case, start to build a business, and I do my first launch and it doesn't work out, and then I do another launch and I make a little money and I do another launch and I start to grow it. That is where the confidence comes in. I have a proven track record. It might be small, but like inch by inch, it's starting to work. Mm-hmm. So my confidence starts to grow. I'm earning it. I'm putting in the time. I'm putting in the work. But before it starts to work, and it took me a good 2 years before my business really started to work, mm-hmm. that's where I had to rely on the courage. Mm-hmm. Because the number one insecurity I had is that I wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. I've always struggled with my weight. As a woman, this is kind of a big through line that we see a lot, where I didn't want to get on video, I didn't want to show my face, I didn't want to put myself out there. So I felt like I wasn't good enough to be on camera. Mm-hmm. Or I wasn't strategic enough in the sense of I didn't have a business degree. I didn't know how to build an online business. I was making it up as I went. So it just came back to, I am not good enough. Mm. And so every time something didn't work, I would reinforce that. But here's how I came out of it, and why today I think I absolutely have a lot of confidence and I absolutely backslide at moments, but then can catch myself pretty quickly, is because I got clear on what I wanted. Mm. It all comes down mm-hmm. to your why. Mm-hmm. And for me, this is something I teach to all my students, and that is, what do you want? Why do you want it? Mm-hmm. And in the early years, when I was still in my corporate job, I wanted to call the shots. I wanted to be the boss. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work when I wanted, where I wanted, how I wanted, and I wanted to be more creative than I could. And as a woman, I knew I was hitting that glass ceiling. And so when I got clear on what I wanted, in the beginning, it was very selfish. I wanted more freedom. Mm-hmm. And so every time I would get knocked down, I did my first launch. I made $267. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd make like $100,000. So I was devastated, got knocked down. But I was like, oh, but I want this bad enough. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to change it up. So I got back up. And that was all courage and faith for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Until it started to work. And as I mentioned, I would do launch after launch after launch, and it started to click. And so that's when I started to step into confidence. And when I would backslide, ask myself, what did I want? Now, 14 years in, what I want is to help people. Like, I have found my mission. Mm-hmm. I feel as though I can help people step into a world of entrepreneurship and become their own boss and make as much money and as much impact as they want. Mm-hmm. That is my why today. That why is so strong that it helps when I get knocked down to get back up really quick. So it really, to me, courage into confidence, it's really about your why.
Well, I love that principle. Confidence is earned. And you may feel a little bit insecure in your leadership right now. Believe me, we all do. And I just want to encourage you, just stay at it. Stay humble, stay teachable, keep asking questions, keep showing up the first Thursday of every month and often the third Thursday. And my commitment is to keep bringing leadership content to you to help you grow in your confidence and in your leadership. Next, we're going to look at a little clip from the top watched video of the entire year. She is brilliant on human relationships and on communication. I know you're going to enjoy and benefit from this clip from Vanessa Van Edwards.
I think the biggest mistake that we make as leaders or trying to have influence is we have to be positive all the time. That is impossible. I think that one of the reasons why we're still stuck in this like burnout, we're post chaos, but we still feel like we're kind of in the chaos, is because we feel like I have to be positive all the time or I'm not a good leader. That is not true. You don't have to be positive all the time to have influence. You also don't have to be extroverted to be charismatic, right? Those are two things that I think we should bust. So for example, if you walk into a room and you have the pressure on your shoulders of being positive and happy, one, it rings as inauthentic if you don't feel that way. Second, that will burn you out faster than anything else. So actually what I want you to think about is what is the relief emotion that you can bring as a leader? So that isn't often positivity. So let's say that you have a company that's feeling like they're facing a lot of problems or a lot of challenges. The relief emotion to challenge, I think, is togetherness, is unity. So that means you're going in and your number one goal is not pepping everyone up or being responsible for making them happy. No, it's making them feel less alone. And so your approach is, hey, I know we're in it. I know we're in the muck. You are not alone. I feel it too. I woke up today a little bit worried. You're so good at this when you talk about humility. I think an aspect of humility is sharing the relief emotion. So togetherness, we're in it together, but we're going to figure out how to do it. Here's how we're going to solve it. Or let's say that you feel like your team is burnt out. Well, then all you're bringing is not necessarily positivity. What you're bringing is resetting. How can you reset the energy? How can you bring a refuel in? And that's not necessarily positive, but it's more of an emotion that matches. And then I think people search to you for, this person is bringing me answers. They're bringing me relief.
Well, I think that's good news, right? That you don't always have to be positive and you don't have to have it all together, but you do have to be authentic in your leadership. And we say that all the time, that you need to really be real, bring the whole you to whatever you're leading, because people would rather follow a leader that's always real than one that's always right. And Vanessa has so much more wisdom. Her video has almost 750,000 views on YouTube, and she dives deeper into the skills and techniques of you-focused communication. She talks about how do you communicate with charisma, and she talks about how to ask great questions to really overcome being what she calls herself as a recovering awkward person. So this is episode 118. If you want to check it out, or just type in my name and Vanessa Edwards on YouTube and it will come up there. Now, our last clip is from episode 134. And this is one of my favorite teachings that I've done in a long time. I talk about being strategically unreasonable. A lot of times we feel like, I don't want to be unreasonable as a leader, and we don't all the time, but sometimes we come in with a strategic, unreasonable drive or passion or motivation or calling to do something significant. We know that as leaders, reasonable feels good because it's normal, but sometimes we need to be unreasonable in our leadership. What I want to do is I want to talk to you about unreasonable leadership, because unusual times demand unreasonable leadership. And we are in some very unusual times. Now, when I talk about unreasonable leaders, I wouldn't be surprised if some of you right now have a little bit of PTSD because you've worked for some unreasonable leaders before in your past, and maybe someone was overbearing or controlling and consistently unreasonable. That's not what I'm talking about. When you generally think about unreasonable leaders, I would say there's three qualities of a bad, unreasonable leader that you see. One is that the worst type of unreasonable leader leads with a top-down force demanding unrealistic results. There's this top-down, controlling, dogmatic, often arrogant or narcissistic style of leadership with a thumbs down that has no empathy for people demanding unrealistic results. There's another type of action that unrealistic, unreasonable leaders are often blindly aware of the real issues at hand. They're just out of touch. They don't know what's going on, and this is unhealthy in organizations. A third problem with the wrong type of unreasonable leaders is that they lack empathy that devalues the team and kills morale. They just don't really care about the heartbeat of the people and the culture around them, and it kills the team and the morale. How many of you honestly, and you can type it in the comment section, I have, how many of you have ever worked for or around a leader like that? Raise your hands, okay. Whatever you do, do not point at them, especially if you are their direct report right now. Do not do that. We are working toward love. But when I talk about being unreasonable, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being unreasonable all of the time. I'm not talking about being reckless or careless. I'm not talking about being unreasonable for no purpose. What I'm talking about is what I would call strategic unreasonableness. Because I'll say it again, that unusual times often demand unreasonable leadership. And the reason, if you're taking notes, you can jot this down, is because reasonable leaders tend to produce reasonable results, right? A reasonable leader tends to do what's known and what's expected and what is safe. And that's why progress often depends on unreasonable leaders. Let me warn you, and let me tell you very, very directly, that it takes intentionality to overcome the gravitational pull toward reasonableness. It takes intentionality, it takes initiative to overcome the gravitational pull toward being reasonable in your leadership. And it's not because being reasonable is bad, it's just because being reasonable is easy. It's reasonable. Reasonable leaders are rarely controversial. When you're reasonable in your leadership, it doesn't often require risk. Reasonable leaders rarely rock the boat, and people rarely criticize reasonable leaders. But you are not the normal type of a leader. You know that you have a higher calling, you have a deeper passion, you have a burning fire within you that knows that you weren't created here just to add temporary value, but you're here to make a difference that will outlast you. And so if you want to break out of what is and break into what could be, there will be times, I promise you, you will need to be strategically unreasonable in your leadership. As a leader, I want to encourage somebody here. In the middle of a really difficult time, I dare you to dream some unreasonable dreams. I dare you to think even bigger. People who do five times as much of you, let me promise you, they're not five times as smart as you. They just think five times bigger. They just think bigger. Don't get trapped in thinking reasonably. If you love what you have, keep doing what you've been doing. And I'm guessing that there are many of you that you're going to look at something and say, that seems like a reasonable decision to me, and you're going to continue leading with a reasonable posture. That's not bad. It's just safe. It's just easy. It's just what most leaders do. But the good news is, if I can say it again, you're not most leaders. You're not just leading for a financial profit, and you're not just leading to make your life better now, but you're leading for something that will outlast you. You have a higher calling as a leader. So if there's anybody here who might even hear this and think, you know what, I'm a little sick of reasonableness. I'm kind of sick of just doing what's expected, doing what's known, doing what's easy, and doing what's safe. Let me just be clear and let me warn you that being unreasonable is never, ever easy. Unreasonable always means uncomfortable. And I want to encourage you in your leadership to find comfort in being uncomfortable. Find comfort in being uncomfortable. Why? Because growth and comfort never coexist. So, who are you? Who are you? You're a leader. You're a leader. You go first. You have vision. You have passion. You have intuition. You bring out the best in people. You create culture. You add value. You take risks. You steward what God has entrusted to you. You bring it back doubled, tripled, four times over. He says, well done, my good and faithful servants. You can be a great business person. Listen to me. People say, well, I'm like a second-class Christian because I'm a business person. No, that's one of the highest callings is to treat people well, to lead with integrity, to multiply resources, to create jobs, to add value, to do something that makes a difference in this community. You are a leader. And I'm going to tell you right now, your calling is too great and your God is too good for you to play it safe in your leadership. When may you be unreasonable? You may be unreasonable when you sense apathy and then you step in with unreasonable vision. You may be unreasonable when you see selfishness or when you smell entitlement or when you hear baseless excuses from a team that you know you can pull more out of them. You may be unreasonable when you've been leading from a posture of comfort rather than standing up with a boldness of faith. You may lead with unreasonableness when someone tells you why something can't be done, but you know you serve a God who says all things are possible with him. So I would say to you in your leadership, what are you waiting for? It's a very unstable time that demands some unreasonable leadership, leadership with integrity, leadership with heart, leadership with core, leadership with conviction, leadership with passion, leadership that stands up and says we can make a difference in this world. There's opportunities to solve. There's problems to be solved. There's opportunities to be seized. And you just look at it and say, somebody's got to do something about this. Might as well be a Bible app. Might as well be us. 500, half of a billion downloads a few years later, half a billion. So there's a problem. Someone needs to solve it. It might as well be you. It's time to be unreasonable in your leadership. So let our good God awaken you, stir within you, encourage you, stretch you, and inspire you, provoke you to dream unreasonable dreams, to attempt unreasonable things, to lead with unreasonable faith, and watch our God do exceedingly and abundantly more through your leadership, which will impact the world for generations to come. So as we move from 1 year into the next year, I just want to remind you that there is more in you. Whether you look back and think, wow, that was a really effective year of leadership, or you may look back and think, you know, I struggled quite a bit. Whatever it is, what I want you to do is I want you to look back and assess your leadership and ask yourself, what can you learn? What did you do well? And what can you do better? What are the specific growth areas that you want to study to push into as you move into a new year? And if you find yourself succeeding wildly or maybe struggling miserably, please know that if you're not dead, you're not done. There is so much more in you. On a side note, I was talking to a business leader this week that just sold a big portion of his company and made a lot of money. And oddly enough, he felt empty. He felt defeated and he felt discouraged. What's interesting is he had worked so many years toward this goal. And when he achieved the goal, he felt dissatisfied. He felt like there must be something more. And we had a very intimate, very meaningful talk. And I tried to help him realize that there is so much more. What he felt like was a finish line felt defeating to him because he had set a goal to reach this significant milestone and he had crossed the finish line. I told him another way to look at it is, let's not say it's a finish line, but let's pretend like it's a starting line. In other words, it's first and 10. In other words, you just crossed a line and now the chains have moved. And think about all the opportunities you have now to impact more people. Wherever you are, I just want to tell you, it's first and 10. Whatever happened in the past, it's gone. You have more opportunities to impact more people and make a bigger difference than ever before. Don't let any voice talk you out of being the leader that God created you to be. I believe it's my calling to walk alongside you, to love you, to cheer for you, to invest in you, and to help you get better in your leadership. Be serious about it. Remember, get the leader guide at life.church/leadership podcast. And if you're a part of our community, share it. Invite others to be out there with us. Join in every single month. If you haven't rated or reviewed the content, write a review. That'll help us reach more people. And let me tell you what's coming up in the next episode. I've got a very powerful conversation with a good friend of mine, Louis Giglio. He's the founder of Passion Church, and he leads what I believe is probably the biggest movement of young adults anywhere in the world. You're going to want to learn from him. It's a very powerful conversation. Let's look back and let's look forward. Let's believe that the year to come will be your most effective year ever. You cannot do it on your own. Surround yourself with great people. Be submitted to a powerful God, and together we can make the world better.